Well, it's a real pleasure to be here today and looking forward to sharing about our policy and research strategies to building a healthy community with nail salon workers. So no relationships to disclose, unfortunately. So what I'm going to be talking about today is I'll give you a quick overview about the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative. What is the issue, what's the problem that we're trying to address, and what are the research and policy strategies that we're trying to employ to address them, and then how that led to community empowerment, and then some next steps. So the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative was started in 2005, and its mission really is to address the health and safety issues faced by nail salon workers through advancing a preventive environmental health agenda. And what we do is, because we have so many diverse partners, we're able to integrate policy, research, and outreach and education approaches on multi-levels. And we're composed of over 30 members. Again, we're very diverse. So we're public health, we're environmental and reproductive justice, a lot of Asian Pacific Islander groups and community-based organizations, as well as nail salon workers and owners. And we've also built partnerships with allies and public agencies, a lot that interface with the nail salon community, as well as have jurisdiction over the nail salon industry. And the California Healthy Nail Salon Collaborative is actually housed within Asian Health Services. Asian Health Services is a fiscal sponsor. And it's actually Asian Health Services that first identified the health issues that nail salon workers face. We have community health workers who have been out in the field for over 20 years and was doing outreach. They were doing outreach in the Vietnamese community, and where would you find them? But in nail salons. And spoke to a lot of the workers and really identified that they were facing a lot of health concerns. So what is the problem? Well, I'd like to know, how many of you have actually ever been to a nail salon? Raise your hand. Okay, so actually a lot of you. And maybe you can shout out, what do you think of when you hear a nail salon or think of a nail salon?
Just
smell. What else? Chemicals. Right, so that is the problem. We know that in all of our, in the nail products, actually our beauty and personal care products, that there are actually known carcinogens and known reproductively harmful chemicals. So why is that? You know, people always ask, why do we have chemicals in our products? Well, that's because our system, our policy system is broken. The federal government does not do pre-market safety assessments of all of our personal care products before they go out to the public, to us. And that's because there has not been comprehensive chemical policy reform to address that. And it's really interesting because Europe has actually taken a step further than the United States, and they've actually banned some of these chemicals, and unfortunately the United States has not. So what does that mean? Well, we know that nail salon workers in general in the nation, about almost 40% are of Asian descent. We know that in California, up to 80% are of Vietnamese descent. And they work with products, these products that contain these toxic soup of chemicals on a daily basis, 8 to 10 hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week. So we are concerned about the long-term cumulative effects and impacts of these chemicals on their health. So, for instance, long-term cancer, we're worried about birth defects, adverse reproductive health outcomes, and we already see a lot of acute symptoms and illnesses. So a lot of asthma, a lot of respiratory illnesses and rashes and skin irritations and nose and throat issues. And then as well as just, you know, occupational health concerns around chronic pains. So it's a very complex issue because, you know, we know that nail salon workers in general tend to be low income. They tend to be immigrants, they are limited English speaking, and this is their livelihood. You know, for the Vietnamese community, for Korean, Chinese communities, this is their economic cornerstone. And so, you know, it's very complex, and so that's why we've taken this multi-strategy approach of policy, research, in combination with outreach and education, while maintaining and making sure that the nail salon community is center to all of this, to make sure that they are the ones guiding all of our strategies forward. So when we started to look at, well, what are some policy strategies that we can implement? You know, we started building a lot of partnerships with different policymakers. And in San Francisco, we actually identified a board of supervisor, David Chu, who was very, very interested in addressing this issue. And he was the president of the board at the time. He's running for mayor as well. And, you know, he said, I am really interested in how can we figure out how to, you know, deal with this issue of health and safety for nail salon workers. At the same time, we had heard from workers in San Francisco that they were also concerned about the chemicals that they work with. And then we had community organizations in our collaborative, a lot of our members, who were, you know, environmentally health justice, you know, savvy and said, well, you know, there are actually safer alternatives out there. How can we actually encourage salons to use what's out there? So we did a little bit of research and, you know, we discovered that there are some pretty bad chemicals in a lot of the nail products, such as dibutyl phthalate or DBP. So it's in polish to prevent, you know, the cracking and brittleness of polish. And that's actually a male and female reproductive toxicant. Yeah. Toluene, that's used in a lot of nail glues, again, in a lot of the polishes, and that causes a lot of neurological and developmental problems. And then you have our favorite formaldehyde, which is a carcinogen, and it causes asthma. And that's used as a nail hardener and preservative. And the industry will tell you, we don't put formaldehyde, it's methylene glycol, it's a completely different chemical, but actually methylene glycol is formaldehyde in water and it's released when the bottles are open. So we know that, you know, a lot of products do contain the toxic trio, but we also know that there are also quite a few toxic trio products that are free of these chemicals that are at cost and available. So we brought this information to our worker and owner advisory groups throughout the state. We have them in Northern California as well as Southern California. And we gather together regularly on a quarterly basis, and we brought this notion to them. And we said, you know, there's a lot of these polishes and your other products that contain the toxic trio, and then there's others that don't. And what we heard from them was, oh, but we're kind of worried, you know, some of these, you know, toxic trio-free products, maybe they don't work as well and may be bad for our business. So we brought it to them and we said, well, test them. You know, tell us what you think. And they said, oh, well, they're not as good as the toxic trio products, but I think maybe we could deal with it. And so, you know, that was when we, in San Francisco, we had partners, Asian Law Caucus, Environmental California, Asian Health Services, you know, actually got a lot of support around this. So workers and owners were like, you know what, we can actually do this, and gathered over 100 worker and owner signatures, and, you know, almost 300 signatures from San Franciscans who expressed a lot of public support around the use of toxic trio-free products. Now, when we had talked to our nail salon workers and owners, they said, well, you know, I think that it would be great if there was some kind of recognition that went along, you know, for shops that did use some of these toxic trio-free products. You know, we had originally brought up the idea of, well, what about just banning these chemicals, because that will do away with all of it. But, you know, for them, it was a really scary idea because it was like, oh, well, we don't know. I mean, if it's banned and then we can't use it anymore, maybe it'll impact our business. And so I think it was really a case of you've got to work at where the community is at. And that was where we were able to move on with support for this particular policy campaign, which we ended up calling the Nail Salon Recognition Program. And so to kick off the event, what we did is we worked with our other collaborative member, which is actually a cosmetology school. And what they did is they got their students who, you know, are learning how to practice on nail salon techniques and give some free manicures to the public with toxic trio-free products. So we held a big media event. We had, you know, President and Supervisor Chu come out, and, you know, we blasted this all over the, you know, the online, Facebook, and we had a ton of people come who wanted these free manicures. And, you know, it was great because it was building awareness. It was fun. At the same time, we also partnered with Brave New Films, who did a short documentary on the health and safety issues that nail salon workers face. There's a link up here. It's on YouTube. And so, you know, we generated a lot of attention, and it was really exciting because it was a way of building awareness about this issue, as well as really getting people to think about, oh, there's going to be this ordinance that's going to be introduced, and we want you to come out and support it. So when the public comment hearing came up, we had worked with quite a few Nails on Community members, and, you know, they were really scared. You know, they're like, oh, a hearing, I don't know, it's during work hours. But, you know, after we worked with them and helped to talk with them and recognize the importance of this, they actually came out, and it was their first time. I mean, they live in San Francisco, they work in San Francisco, it was the first time that they've ever been to City Hall. And so it was really exciting to see some of these folks who didn't even speak English come and testify in their own language. We had, you know, interpreters or translators there, and say, you know, this is an important ordinance that we think needs to be passed because it is a first step to thinking about how do we create healthier and safer salons. And so it was really exciting because the Board of Supervisors, it passed, this Nail Salon Recognition Program passed unanimously. And this is the whole picture of the entire group that attended, includes our collaborative members as well as Nail Salon community owners and workers. So on the other end, because we are so diverse in terms of our collaborative, we had other folks at the same time who are working kind of on a research approach. So in Southern California, you know, the base building was more challenging. And so what we did was actually implement a community needs assessment as a vehicle for base building in the community and held a bunch of focus groups. So we've had over 100 Nail Salon community members in Southern California participate and created sort of several events to help with their participation. Worked with the data center and some other community groups, OCAPCA, Orange County, Asian Pacific Honor Community Alliance, and with UCLA, to really think about, well, how do we involve the community members in thinking about the data and the results from these surveys? You know, these surveys had so much information, and sure, we could have gotten a researcher to really do the analysis, but we actually did a very community process where all of the workers and the owners could get together, and there's a picture up there, where they could prioritize and think about, well, here's the data, what do you think are the priorities to explain to your community? How do you want to translate this information? And so they were really an integral part of that process. So as a result, came up with a report called Toxic Beauty No More and held a community event that, again, involved the workers and our collaborative members in that process. You know, and it was very exciting because, again, it was so hard to do the outreach and build the relationships down in Southern California that this was sort of the kickstart to be able to build that trust, because now we had all this ethnic media attention and we, you know, talking about the collaborative, who we are, and was able to build trust with the community. And it's been so much easier to go out to salons because now they recognize who the collaborative is and are more open to hearing the message of health and safety. And so this was, you know, the information that the Southern California Needs Assessment brought up mirrored a lot of the information around the needs assessment that we did in Northern California. So one of our collaborative members, the California Cancer Prevention Institute of California, partnered with Asian Health Services on this particular needs assessment in Alameda County. And again, it just mirrors exactly what the community needs assessment we did in Southern California around, you know, workers reporting health concerns, majority up to 80%, and mostly all of them, or nearly half, actually reporting a lot of health symptoms. So this is a more current research study that has been done, again, with the Cancer Prevention Institute of California with many of our collaborative members, and it was an air monitoring research study. And again, you know, really involving the workers and the owners in this process. And so workers would wear little air monitoring, personal air monitors, and what they found was that toluene was two times higher than what is normally recommended by the Cal EPA, and that volatile organic compounds, so a measure for, you know, multiple airborne chemicals, was also higher than the recommended Cal EPA level. And so I think much of this explains why a lot of the workers are experiencing the health symptoms that they are. And it's very interesting because, there's just not enough research around this, around the nail salon worker issue. And so the industry would always say, oh, well, the reason why nail salon workers are facing health concerns is because they're smokers. They don't use the products right. They're not reading the instructions right. You know, so it's their fault. It's so interesting because I think by having this type of data, we're able to advocate, a lot stronger against the industry around what they're saying. And so, what's been interesting is because we've been able to implement policy as well as some research strategies, it's these vehicles that we've been able to provide a lot of owners and workers, opportunities for advocacy. And it was through that process that we began to identify, owners and workers who really felt like they wanted to take leadership in their community. And so I just want to kind of point out the story. The lady on the left, who's in red, she's from San Francisco, Van. And the lady on the right, in white, she is teen. She's from L.A. And these are two women who have experienced a lot of health issues. They were so initially so afraid to talk about their story, but through these policy and research strategies, they really come forward and want to take more leadership in their community and voice the concerns. So this is actually a picture when we were at a congressional briefing in D.C. here, specifically focused on salon worker health and safety. So it was really great because we were able to work with our national partners, with National Asian Pacific American Women's Forum and Women's Voices of the Earth. Together we formed the National Healthy Nail Salon Alliance and was able to capitalize on the opportunity for these workers to travel from California to really share their story to policymakers. And it was really exciting because it was their first time ever flying to the East Coast and let alone seeing the White House and participating in these type of activities. And so as next steps, we recognize that really it's about the community, it's about building their power and enabling them to advocate for their issues. And so really trying to dive in more deeply around leadership development. So next steps is looking at a leadership development curriculum and really identifying kind of a core leader that we can really train on leadership skills, public speaking, facilitating meetings, being able to really develop that leadership and be a leader in their community. So just to wrap up, this is the website here if you want more information. And Lisa Fushi, the collaborative coordinator, she's located in Southern California. And this is my contact information. I'm in Northern California. And happy to take questions afterwards. Thank you for your attention.